All right, hello and welcome back to another episode of A Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. And Big Cass, we have some big news tonight. Georgia quarterback Justin Fields has announced he is transferring from the program. And according to an ESPN article, he is going to be looking at Ohio State as a potential option.
Yeah, I've also heard Penn State as an option. I've heard Mississippi State as an option, and those are some two, obviously Ohio State, the best of the three, but if this kid wants to play right away, I'd love to see him at Ohio State, but if he wants to play right away, his best chance is to go to Penn State or Mississippi State.
I feel like Mississippi State would be a little, like, a weird option for him because that's still in the conference, and I don't know what's so attractive about Mississippi State other than the offensive coordinator that recruited him is now the head coach there. I feel like that, other than that, I don't think Mississippi State's like an attractive program in my opinion. Penn State I could totally see because James Franklin needs a quarterback and I feel like he'd be a really good fit there. If he comes to Ohio State though, Martell is probably going to transfer, so that makes it a little complicated. I think he fits in perfectly with Oklahoma. Florida State's a weird one too because they got like still two quarterbacks in Francois and Blackman, but
well, he would have to sit out a year too.
That is true, but I want to read you a tweet from Quincy Avery, and Quincy Avery was Justin Fields' like quarterbacks coach, like his trainer almost, and Quincy Avery said. He tweeted this a couple weeks ago. If I had a son who played quarterback, I would 100% want him to play for Ryan Day.
Well, that's going to be a huge thing, and this would be huge for Ryan Day to get a kid like him. Like you said, we'd say goodbye to Tate Martell, but with the Justin Fields. But if you want to switch over, just kind of switch gears, and let's talk a little bit about Tate Martell. An article I read, I believe I want to say Bleacher Report or 247 Sports, one of the two, was talking about how Matthew Baldwin could outbeat Tate Martell for the quarterback job if Dwayne Haskins does decide to leave and go pro.
I find that hard to believe, though, Big Cass, just because, I haven't even seen Matthew Baldwin really play. I've seen Martell play, and he's pretty electric, and I feel like he should be the next man up just because, I mean, he's so talented. If he's not there passing the ball, rushing the ball at least, he's going to be like Braxton Miller.
Yeah, but I think what they were getting at is the accuracy and a little bit of better arm that could just fire a trigger. Matthew Baldwin is a lot better in that aspect than if you look at their high school tapes and compare them. Matthew Baldwin is a kid that, you know, won a state title at his high school in Texas, and he was Baker Mayfield's backup. So, yeah. I mean, Matthew Baldwin was highly recruited, as is Tate Martell, so it should be quite interesting. And if you throw in Justin Fields in this mix, it definitely gets quite interesting.
Yeah, there's going to be one heck of a quarterback competition in the spring now, even without Justin Fields, but you throw him into the mix, wow. This is all too playing hypothetical, saying that if Dwayne Haskins doesn't even return, we're not, that's still up in the air because yesterday Mike Weber, running back, he announced his intentions to go into the draft. And Dwayne Haskins, who has still not announced his intentions to go into the draft yet, it's still a decision he needs to make. He commented on Mike Weber's post and wrote "One more year, Mikey," and wrote like a and gave a sad face emoji. So that's still yet to be seen if Haskins is going to go to the draft. I think he is. I mean, I think it's almost a done deal, but there's still a chance he comes back.
Yeah, I think it's a done deal also. And I get asked this all the time. Is he coming back? What do you think that means? Folks, Marshawn Lattimore did the same thing in 2016. So, but, I mean, I understand that he believes that there's records to be broke. And, I mean, according, I mean, the Todd McShay had him going 10 in the mock draft last week. This week, he has him going 18th to Miami, and I think, like Todd McShay says, that's just because the uncertainty if he's actually going to go pro or not.
It's a weird situation. I don't understand why he would return unless he really wants to win a national championship and a Heisman. Those would be the only reasons for me. And maybe he takes education seriously. Like, maybe he wants to finish his degree, but he could really do that anytime. If you're a first-round pick and making, you know, that much guaranteed money, you can afford to come back to school. You know, you're still going to have enough to pay for your tuition, even if you're not on scholarship.
Exactly. And right now, I think Haskins is focused more on the Rose Bowl. But don't you get kind of the vibe out of Haskins? Like, he's like the crush that you've been crushing on all year long, and he's just making it plain hard to get. Like, you know, like giving you mixed signals on if he's going to go pro or not. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think he's not even sure, to be honest. I really do, Big Cass. I think he's going to go, but I think in his heart he loves Ohio State. I think that's clear. I think that
his parents are a huge influence on him too, and they stress education is the key.
He also did say that the NFL is always going to be there. He did say that, but I mean, also I think it also has to do with who's picking first, or like what teams need quarterbacks, because I saw an interview. I forgot who did it. I think it was ESPN or someone, and they're talking to him about the Giants, because Haskins is from New Jersey, grew up in New Jersey. He grew up a Giants fan, and they're asking him, oh, what would it be like if you got drafted to a team like the Giants? And he said he would be willing to sit under, like, Eli Manning. So that also, I feel like, plays a factor. You know, what teams are going to want him? I know, obviously, I think the Broncos could use him, my Broncos. The Dolphins could use him. I mean, a lot of teams could use a quarterback like him. Jaguars, but the Bengals, yeah, definitely the Bengals, Big Cass. You're 100% right there.
I think he's just looking at the opportunity, because if he's drafted by the Giants right now, Eli Manning is gone, folks. And I think if he's drafted by the Giants now, they're going to want him to start day one. And I don't think, in his mind, he's ready to – I mean, I don't know what his mind is, but – just by the way he's talking and the way he's acting, maybe he doesn't think he's ready to start day one as a starter, but he also don't want to pass up top 10 money like Cardale Jones did, which, by the way, Cardale Jones got his degree yesterday. Congratulations to him and all the other Buckeyes that got their degree. But Cardale Jones missed a huge opportunity to make millions of dollars.
I mean, all right, let's look at the quarterbacks in the rookie class who look at Baker Mayfield. He stayed all 4 years. Obviously, he had the 1 year he transferred, but he stayed an extra year, and he's tearing it up in the NFL. And he probably would have if Hugh Jackson wasn't a moron and didn't refuse to start him for the first 3 weeks, he would probably have shattered the rookie passing touchdown record. He could still break it. He needs six more in two games, so 3-3. But he's having a great year. But then you look at a guy like Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, guys who, you know, left a little bit early. They still need some work. So I think maybe staying an extra year could really benefit Haskins.
Yeah, and I think he sees that. And I think it's still 60-40 that he goes, but who knows? It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge quarterback conundrum right now. But
if this Georgia kid, now that he's looking for a home, and if his high school football coach says he wants his kid to play for Ryan Day, it could be a huge influence. I mean, I'm looking at it this way: if Haskins stays and Fields comes in as the quarterback, but obviously has to sit. If I'm Tate Martell, I am putting my transfer request in. If I'm Matthew Baldwin, I would like to beat out Martell or Fields, but I would put my transfer. That's if Haskins decides to stay and Fields comes.
Yeah, I feel like obviously Martell, you would see him put a transfer request in, and he would obviously be a hot commodity. I'm not sure if Matthew Baldwin would be as hot of a commodity.
I think he would. I mean, I think he could be a hot commodity. Depends what type of spring he would have. And, he was also highly recruited by Urban Meyer, so we'll see. I mean, still a lot to talk. You know, a lot going on, especially with the Rose Bowl. Wow, the Rose Bowl is 2 weeks from tomorrow.
I know it doesn't feel like that. It feels like, you know, we were just. The playoff selection was a few days ago, but it's coming, man. Urban Meyer's final game is right around the corner.
Yes, it is. So that's all I have in football. I mean, I don't know what you've got on football anymore, but that's all I've got on football.
I just wanted to quickly go over. So we know regarding the NFL draft, Big Cass. We know Weber declared, Haskins is in the air, Draymond Jones declared. That was quite interesting. But
Michael Jordan is
there. Yeah, I know Johnny Dixon declared, but I mean he's a senior. He did it as kind of as a joke, I think, but I think like if you watch the interview, he said first things first, I like to say I'm declaring, like breaking news. He was kind of joking with the media, but he's obviously, I mean, he's a senior, he's gone. He's probably going to go to the combine and everything.
Jordan Fuller still up in the air. I think that's out of the underclassmen, and KJ Hill, I think, is up near. I think out of the underclassmen, that is the only ones that I can see getting a top four round grade. I mean, I don't see anybody else getting trying to leave and go pro. That's, you know, fourth round and below. I mean, I think Fuller. I think he's obviously a top four rounds pick. I think Mike Weber also. I think Mike Weber's projected to go in the third or fourth round because I don't think the running back class is that deep this year. Michael Jordan is the fifth best guard. Now, that could be very highly thinking, especially when he was voted 13th All-American this year also. I think the two guys to really watch out for is Michael Jordan and Jordan Fuller.
With Michael Jordan, I think he'd be a hot commodity because he can play center too. And that, like in the NFL, they look for guys who can play multiple positions on the line because that's huge. If you can play, you know, guard and center, you're a huge asset because if one guy goes down, you can plug and play Michael Jordan somewhere. So I could see him being, you know, maybe like a third round pick easily. Fuller. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
And I think with Michael Jordan, I think he, if he didn't play center at all this year, I think he was a first team All-American at guard. He's a sensational offensive guard. Him playing center, I think it took a step back because he never really played center before. I think they threw him in a position. I think if he comes back next year, I think Coach Ryan Day and the offensive line coach has to find a way to get him back at guard and put another center in there.
I think Fuller, he should come back because he had a good year, but it wasn't spectacular, and I don't think he would get drafted as high as what we would expect because, let's be honest, the secondary was horrible this season. Fuller, he didn't put up great stats. He only had one interception. So I know Ohio State's DBU, and he might get the benefit of the doubt in the draft, but I think if he stayed one more year, because, you know, with his family too, education's huge, and I know he got like first team all Big Ten academic or something like that, or all American. Like, he's a smart kid, so he might want to get his degree, but I think he could really use some work because he needs to put together a season where he just really, really shows that, okay, he is a solid safety and, you know, he can run the defense where there's not going to be any people running free deep. And I think the secondary next year is going to be really, really good with Fuller, Brendan White, Sean Wade, and Okuda. I think that's – and Sheffield will be back too. That secondary is going to be really, really good.
Yeah, All right, just breaking news more on this Justin Fields. Bleacher Report came out and said his top three schools are Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Florida State.
No surprise there. I mean, honestly, if I were Justin Fields, though, I would say Oklahoma because I look at Justin Fields and I feel like he would be perfect in that offense under Lincoln Riley. Like, he would basically be like what Kyler Murray is right now.
I think he'd fit in Ohio State's offense too. Actually, I don't know. Who knows? What is a Ryan Day offense? I mean, I know we had the first three games, but what is a Ryan Day offense?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm really not sure what a Ryan Day offense is. If it's just, from my perspective, I think it's just a bunch of crossing routes. Like, that's what my take on a Ryan Day offense is.
I think my take on a Ryan Day offense is still a shotgun spread, but we're gonna power run you, and we're gonna just sling it. I think, and use crossing routes also. Use the tight end a little bit more. I think the read option will be quarterback run option is going to be basically clear back in the back of the playbook as a just in case.
Yeah, I would think almost a Ryan Day offense. Think of it as an Urban Meyer offense during when we played Alabama. I would say something more like that.
Texas Tom Herman style offense, like you said, Tom, the real Tom Herman offense was the national championship run.
The one thing that really like got under the skin of Ohio State fans, Big Cass, is just the fact that when Urban Meyer with this offense, he would go to these like weird plays with JT Barrett and like the quarterbacks where he would force feed the quarterback, like quarterback draws and everything. And I feel like under a Ryan Day offense, they don't do that, which is really, really good. Like really important.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think it's going to be, quite interesting to see what we do, and I'm really excited about the Ryan Day. Whatever the Ryan Day offense is, we'll find out this spring. I can't wait for the spring football to start. Early signings going to come out, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
100% will be. In basketball news, Big Cass, I don't know if you saw this. Ohio State took down Bucknell. Bucknell's a solid program. They're probably going to make the tournament for a third straight year. But Andre Wesson lost three teeth and came back into the game.
Yeah, I saw the game. I ended up watching it. And had a little surprise. I ran into Caleb Wesson and Luther Mom and that Roosters. I mean, got some stories about that. It doesn't involve Caleb and Luther Mahab. It's just some funny stories. But, yeah, his brother Andre lost one tooth, according to, as I was eavesdropping, Caleb Weston's conversation with his cousin, who is a.k.a. the waitress, his waitress during that. We'll get more in that story. But according to, as I was eavesdropping, and Caleb had told his cousin that he chipped two teeth and lost one. And Chris Holtman about stepped on his tooth. And they had to put up with a Kleenex.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. That's so embarrassing.
But the Weston brothers are tough as nails, especially Andre.
I just can't believe, like, he missed not even, like, 5 minutes.
I mean, you chipped two teeth and lost one. Grown-up teeth. That is insane.
Right back into the game, too. And like he made a big play. He made a nice kick-out assist to Keyshawn Woods for a huge three. And he was playing great defense. I mean, he had a really good game, Andre Wesson. And I give him a lot of credit for, you know, really fighting through that. Because I know basketball players sometimes get a bad rap from especially hockey players that they're not tough. And that was something a hockey player would do.
Yeah, and especially the layover that they had, the week off that they had for finals. It was a typical game where you knew they were going to have to slug it out and, you know, have to dig out a victory. And everybody's like, well, who's Bucknell, blah, blah, blah. Apparently you don't watch the NCAA tournament because they've beaten Duke and Michigan State in the NCAA tournament.
I don't think they beat them, but they played them pretty tough. But, I mean, Bucknell is a physical team, as we found out.
They beat Michigan State a few years ago.
You know what? You might be right on that. I know they played Duke tough. They definitely didn't beat Duke, but they're a really good program, Bucknell. I think what's his name? Mike Muscala went there on the Hawks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went there, so I mean, Bucknell is a pretty solid team. And then tomorrow night the basketball team takes on Youngstown State, so they should win that, but I mean, the team's just been playing super tough this year. Luther Muhammad, he like dislocated his shoulder. He only missed I think a game. So just some real tough guys on this basketball team, which you love to see.
Yeah, you definitely do love to see. I'm checking up on this. They are all in NCAA tournament appearances. They are 2-7 all time. One of those victories was against Michigan State.
Wow. Okay. I thought they played them tough. I didn't think they actually beat them, but wow. Okay. That's kind of funny then.
Oh, and they beat Kansas in 2005.
That's the team. Okay.
Yeah. So they beat Michigan State last year. Number 14, Bucknell takes down number 3, Michigan State.
Oh, that was definitely all right. That was a bracket buster then.
Yes.
That was one of the – I forgot about that. That was one – you know, I like to forget about that because I probably put Michigan State in, like, my Elite Eight or Final Four. I always do, but wow, okay. Yeah, but Bucknell is a really good team, like I said. Like, they don't get, obviously, the hype because they play in, like, the Patriot League or something, but they are a solid, solid basketball team.
Played in the Patriot League, and they beat Kansas on a famous hook last-second – shot.
I love it. Fundamental basketball, Big Cass. Just.
But going back to that game, Ohio State came out strong, and I thought, okay, they're going to blow Bucknell out of the water. I stopped watching it. Turned it back on because I was watching. I think I was watching the Southern versus Grambling. Or I don't know who they were playing. I know Southern's always in that bowl game. It's some like division FCS bowl game, whatever it is, where they have a battle of the bands at halftime or something like that. But I turned it back on, and Bucknell's up at halftime, and I thought Ohio State just came out. They came out strong, and then Bucknell just was Bucknell. I mean, always playing teams tough.
Bucknell at the end, we were up, I think, like 10 at the end, like the last couple minutes, but Bucknell cut it to 2 points at the end, and they had the ball, and they had a chance to win it. It was almost a huge implosion by the Buckeyes, but luckily, whoever took, like, the shooter on Bucknell didn't get even close to a good shot, and then the follow-up shot was just a air ball heave, but Ohio State kind of lucked out at the end because they almost imploded big time, and that would have been an ugly loss.
Yes. By the way, speaking of former Buckeyes, Eli Apple had a big interception in the Monday Night Football game.
Great. That's good for him. You know what? He's been having a rough time his whole career, and, you know, I mean, obviously I didn't expect him to be that bad, but I expected him to be a decent NFL player, so it's good to see him hopefully finally making a play in the NFL.
I think him going to New Orleans kind of resurrects his career.
Absolutely. I mean, that whole secondary is just Ohio State guys. It's Kurt Coleman, Von Bell, Marshawn, and Eli Apple.
Yep. And Michael Thomas on the other side.
And JT Bear on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Which I heard he got released again, but I'm pretty sure the Saints are just releasing him because when they need an extra guy to flex on that practice squad, they know no team's going to pick up JT Barrett, so they can still keep him in-house, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
It makes too much sense, almost.
So, the women's basketball team knocked off Florida at St. John Arena the other day. I think it was like 48 to 46 or something like that. Really close game. But they good win for the Buckeyes as they honor Katie Smith. So that's all the winter sport. I mean, I know there's more going on. I just don't have anything updated because the finals and like hockey's on a break until it gets back up next. So
I kind of wanted to save this for the end since this is a shorter episode, but Big Cass, we need to talk about this one big thing that happened last week, and it's kind of two segments in one. We need to talk about what that team up north is doing. And we need to just discuss this whole Mirage thing, because what is Chase Winovich saying?
The Mirage. I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand what he was talking about. Coming from a guy who started the revenge tour thing, so, and then finally coming in against Ohio State and had one tackle.
And you know what, too? I think he claimed, I think Ohio State was playing dirty or something against him, but if you, like, against Indiana, they did the same play, and he also cried it was dirty, but it was just them finishing a block. So, I mean,
how about just got your tail kicked in just a minute?
Yeah, I mean, you can't lose seven straight years at this point, but I think he's lost every year he's been there. I think it was four for him. And just say it was a mirage. Like, no, dude, this brings me into the Cardale Jones tweet of the week. So the Ohio State football account tweeted a mirage tweet. It was a skit from Saturday Night Live, and it was like Kenan Thompson and I forgot the other guy, another actor from Saturday Night Live, and they're like, oh, it's a mirage, and then they posted the score to the game. And then Michael Hill, former Ohio State defensive lineman, quote tweeted and said, it's not a mirage, it's deja vu. I mean, though, it's just so true. Like, it's literally just the annual beatdown. It's crazy. You show me that one Michigan broadcaster basically telling the world that, you know, his son, what was the exact thing he said about his son?
I have no idea. I kind of just basically swept it under the rug and laughed about it.
Oh, it was like, oh, it was a grown man, Creed. It was something that he wants to go see Creed, and then he's like, I don't know, is a grown man finally going to win something?
Yeah, my dad sent me that podcast, and I thought it was the funniest thing in the world, just the beginning, the Michigan podcast that it is. And basically, it's just 50 minutes of the guy bitching, moaning, and complaining about Michigan not being elite, basically Michigan just getting their tails kicked by Ohio State.
All right, there's two things I loved about that podcast, because I watched it for a little bit. The first thing I got to address is he had like 30 books right there, and we all know he didn't read a single one of them. He was showing off all his books. Like, all right, if we ever did a podcast, Big Cass, I promise you, like a live YouTube podcast, I promise you I will not have a book in sight, because I am not, like, I'm not going to put on a front that I'm reading this book about, you know, I'm just not doing that. But this guy was, like, showing off, oh, look at me, I went to Michigan, I read all these books.
And he also looked like the, if you remember the 2016 debates, he looked like the one guy with the red vest sweater or whatever, with the mustache.
Oh, Ken Bone? He did. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was pretty funny, and my dad he sent me that. I had to share.
But the second best thing I loved about it was this guy was just trying to justify how good a season Michigan still had. He's like, there's still some positive takeaways. He's like, you know, We were one game away from the Big Ten championship. We were one game away from the Rose Bowl, a place we haven't been in, like, you know, 15, 20 years. And it's like, this guy was just like, it's, I think it's not Chase Winovich saying it's a mirage. I think it's just Michigan fans. They're so delusional. And they have this mentality now where, like, it's just okay to, for them to be mediocre. And they're just going to blame it on other things because they're like, he's trying to justify, like, oh, it was still a really good season for Michigan. Like, no, it wasn't. You lost two games. Like, Ohio State last year, we lost two games and we're like, this was a horrible season.
Yeah. I mean, Michigan did have a, I wouldn't say fantastic season, but they did have a good season. But they just can't get over that hump. And, you know, they haven't been able to beat Ohio State. And that's the kryptonite. And I had some guy tell me that Michigan doesn't care about Ohio State, they care about Michigan State. I call BS on that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you have to care. I mean, you're telling me they don't care about getting their butt whooped every year, not going to the Big Ten title game at all. I mean, it's come at this point. There's only like a select list of teams that's never been to the Big Ten title game. It's like Rutgers, Maryland. I mean, there's a couple teams, Minnesota, Purdue, but Michigan's still one of them. Like, other teams have been to the Big Ten title game before Michigan, one of the most prestigious programs in Big Ten history.
Yeah, the fact that, and all due respect to Northwestern, they're one of the teams in the Big Ten that you have to, like, you don't have to respect, but they're one of the teams that in the Big Ten that you respect. And the fact that they have made the Big Ten championship game before Michigan is laughable.
It is. It's hilarious. And Jim Harbaugh says, oh, he there's rumors of him potentially leaving for the NFL. And he says, oh, no, we have big plans here. Well, Jim, today, you know, Aubrey Solomon, your nose tackle, announced his transfer. So that's another big-time player they've lost. And, I mean, they've lost a bunch of players since Thanksgiving to Big Cass. This is like the fourth.
That's just because they got spanked by Ohio State. And the big key is in 2 days, where is that kerosene going to land? Michigan or Ohio State? And this is huge for Jim Harbaugh. He has to land Zach Harrison, or this is huge for Ryan Day to set the stone that Ohio State football is not going anywhere.
I mean, Zach Harrison says he's going to announce it via Twitter. And I'm trying to read into this how I can, you know, maybe read into see how using Twitter would help him impact his decision. And this is my one of two ways I'm thinking about it. It could go either way, honestly. You can make an argument for either way. He's announcing it on Twitter because he's going to Michigan because he doesn't want to deal with all the people from Columbus giving him crap about it.
Okay.
Or he's announcing it via Twitter because he just wants to do it real quick and simple because he's staying in Columbus and going to Ohio State and just like, yeah, I'm going to Ohio State. No big deal. Like, I'm staying home.
It's going to be quite interesting to see what he does. I honestly think he's going to end up with Ohio State. Larry Johnson is going to be back via Chase Young, not the country singer. But Chase Young, the man beast, defensive end, has said that he will be back. So, that being said, I think Zach Harrison's going to end up back in Columbus.
I mean, I'm hearing rumors that potentially Penn State could sneak their way in there and maybe somehow, I mean, they're a long shot, but you know, they got Micah Parsons, so obviously there's some recruiting violations and stuff, but I'm not sure. I mean, it's going to be close, Big Cass. It really is. But whatever decision he decides is going to set the tone. For on December 19th, he's Wednesday, he's deciding. I believe that's the 19th. That's when signing day starts. So he's going to decide that day. I'm sure, though, we'll find out maybe we'll find out some rumors, I bet, that, you know, where he's leaning.
Exactly.
But, I mean, that really does it for this episode of A Bunch of Nuts podcast. We currently have – I kind of got to want to talk about this real quick as we finish up, but – we have a website under construction now, so we are going to be hosting the podcast on this website when it's done, probably sometime around New Year's or probably next year with the holidays coming up. It's under construction, working real hard on it, Big Cass. We're going to have news articles and everything, and we're going to have the podcast hosted on there. So we'll shoot a link out when it's up, and as always, Big Cass, win the moment.
Also on the it's not just going to be the podcast. This podcast, A Bunch of Nuts podcast, will be the main podcast on this, but it's going to be strictly Ohio State. We will have some Blue Jackets coverage, Columbus Blue Jackets coverage, and some Columbus Clippers coverage and Columbus Crew coverage. Working on possible. Podcasting with that, or whether it's going to be me or Dan hosting it, he can have the hashtag Save the Crew podcast. because I don't know nothing about soccer. We are working with a couple people possibly doing coverage for the Blue Jackets. So the Bunch of Nuts thing is not, could be, the website itself could not just be Ohio State, but even though the Ohio State podcast will be Bunch of Nuts podcast, but just because when I went to the Blue Jackets game, and this just hit home, at the end of the period, they said 1 minute left to go in the period, and the crowd still yells, Michigan still sucks. It doesn't matter if you're a Crew fan, Columbus Blue Jackets fan, or Columbus Clippers fan, we all still hate Michigan.
That's a great point to end on. And yeah, the website, it's going to be, there's obviously going to be Ohio State content, but it's going to be more Columbus-based stuff too. So, like Big Cat said, Crew, Clippers, Blue Jackets, Ohio State. I can't wait though, Big Cat. Thanks for coming on again, and only big things in the future though. And as always, man, win the moment and go Bucks.
Yes, sir.